And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're in the prophet Daniel. And as I said, most of us first encounter the prophet Daniel when we're a child in Sunday school. And that's because we learn that wonderful text about the fiery furnace. And then we learn the wonderful text about Daniel in the lion's den. And we make those kids' stories. And then we never look at Daniel again. That's too bad. I want to say this. Daniel is not just a children's book. I want to say this too. Those stories aren't just children's stories. Both of them are about two themes. One is the theme that Christians are hard workers. The people in those narratives, as you remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Rakshak and Benny, if you like VeggieTales. Those three men are servants in the pagan king, and they do their job. They work at their job. They work at it faithfully. They work at it with integrity. With one cat, that's the first point, that they are hard workers. And the second one, of course, is Daniel the same. They're hard workers, but they will not compromise on matters of faith. Right? Does that sound like the world we live in, right? They live in a culture that's majority not believers. They're going to work hard and carefully at what they do, but they will not compromise on matters of faith. And in both cases, I love to notice this, their enemies know that, right? The enemies say, if we want to bring these men down, where we will attack them is on their matters of their faith, because they won't give in there, right? That's how they wind up in the fiery furnace. It's how Daniel winds up in the lion's den. I want to make one other funny point about us to kind of know this. We always turn those into children's stories, and so the children's Bibles with illustrations make Daniel look like a young man. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he was 80 years old. Can you imagine this? Some king decided to execute Daniel at the age of 80 by throwing him to the lions. Thanks be to God, God protected him, of course. So not just a children's book, there's a lot more to Daniel. I want to say a couple other things about Daniel the man. Daniel was part of the royal family. We don't know exactly how close he was, but we know that he was. And I want to read a couple verses out of Daniel chapter 1 just to introduce to us that he was a part of the royal family and also one of the exiles to Babylon. Remember, we've heard before about how many Jews were taken out of Israel and taken as exiles back to Babylon. So Daniel 1 verses 3 to 5. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family, there he is, and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome. It's funny the Bible points that out, right? He's handsome. He's a good-looking guy. That's nice, right? Showing aptitude. I want us to notice this. Handsome. Showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. That means they sent them to the best schools. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Daniel, the other fellow, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all among those young men, teenagers, ripped away from their homes, ripped away from their families, sent to Babylon, given a great education, and put into government service. That's who Daniel is. So I want us to know that that's who he is. But I want us to know another funny thing about him. Daniel was very long-lived. We've often said, you know, people in the ancient world didn't live long. That's actually not true. They didn't eat any processed food, for one thing. No French fries in Babylon, I know. But anyway, Daniel lived at least into his 90s. He may have lived to the age of 100, but he lived a long life. And here's something else. His ministry lasted 75 years. Can you imagine working for 75 years? I don't know about you. I'd be looking to retire before that. You know what I mean? But 75 years, lived forever. He lived for so long that he was born in Israel, taken to Babylon, lived longer than the Babylonian Empire. Because the Babylonian Empire, for all of its power, for all of its beauty, fell in one day. Nebuchadnezzar, capable ruler, all of his successors, not at all. They ran it into the ground, and it was destroyed in one day by the Persians. And Daniel lived in Israel through the Babylonian era and into the Persian Empire. Can you imagine that his entire life covered all those things? Now, knowing that, I want to mention Daniel chapter 2. I read that long chapter again. Remember, we all think, oh, Daniel in the lion's den. I read Daniel chapter 2. Was that a mystifying chapter or not? I want to talk about what was going on there. I want to notice Nebuchadnezzar, pagan king. God gave the pagan king a dream. Think of that. God gave a dream to a pagan king. I want us to notice that the pagan king is not naive. Most people think that people of faith are naive. The pagan king was not naive. Half the chapter was explaining the whole setup, where Nebuchadnezzar calls in the wise men, the astrologers, all the mystics, those dudes, and says to them, I had a dream. And they say, great king, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you. And what did he say? Not so fast. You tell me the dream. That's what he's saying. The text was long, and I was wondering, is everybody holding up with me here? He said to them, I had a dream. They said, cool, we interpret dreams. What was the dream? And he said, what? No, you tell me the dream. That way I'll know your interpretation is right. And what did they say? Nobody can do that. He said, if you don't do it, I'll kill you. And he has the power to do that. I'll kill you, your families, and smash your homes to pieces. And they again, they're like, king, nobody can do that. Tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. He said, nope. You tell me the dream. Tell me the dream that I had. Daniel was one of those wise men, and so the word goes out. All the wise men will be killed. What does Daniel do? He prayed. He goes into the king's office. By the way, that lets us know where Daniel was in the ranks of authority. He goes in to see the king personally. He goes in to see King Nebuchadnezzar and says, give us a little more time, and he gets his friends together and he prays, right? So when we make a big decision around here, do we pray? Right? When we begin a voters meeting, are we in prayer? When the church council gets together, are we in prayer? When we have things before our congregation, how should we start? Prayer. We tend to start at our abilities, right? We have a financial issue. Let's get the finance guy. Okay, that's fine. I want that guy. But they started with prayer. And then I want us to be very cautious to notice this. Daniel gives all the glory to God. Because when he comes in, God gives him that is a miracle, of course. God told him the dream, and he told him the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel comes in to Nebuchadnezzar. This has been revealed to me. And Nebuchadnezzar, I want us to notice in the text, Nebuchadnezzar says, you can do this? And what does Daniel say? No, I can't. But I do have a God, right? We have to remember that. Whatever success, whatever good comes to our church, we have to say, did you build up your church? No, there is a God, right? There's a God in heaven, and he did it. Daniel's very clear. He even says specifically, I'm not smarter than anybody else. Just, I have a God in heaven. And then he tells him the dream. What was the dream? There was a statue, and the head of it was made out of gold. And below that was silver, and below that was bronze, and below that was iron. You get the pattern, right? How valuable are these metals? They're decreasing, right? Babylon was glorious. The city of Babylon, its hanging gardens were considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Travelers of the ancient world talked about what a beautiful and glorious city it was. An amazing place. And so, other empires come. Daniel chapter 2, by the way, is parallel to Daniel chapter 7. We didn't have time to read that this morning, but check it out. There's another vision of four animals in that case. This time, four metals. Daniel 7. Four animals, and then it describes them even more, but we do know what they are. He says, you, O king, are the head of gold. Beautiful, powerful, glorious Babylon. Who comes next? Persia, and I'm putting this here just because I do wish that people would kind of memorize this sequence. Who conquered Persia? Greece. Who conquered Greece? Rome. The largest of all those empires. Large and powerful. As it said, though, a mixed and never quite united empire. And he interprets them this way. He says, these are empires that are yet to come. Isn't that the way it is? Empires rise, then what do? Fall. They rise, they fall, there's the next. These guys think, we'll rule forever. They rise, they fall. There's another. But that might be interesting as history, but that's not the bottom line, is it? Because in the era of this empire, there's a little rock. Did you catch it? A little rock cut out, but not by human hands, strikes the statue in the clay, and the feet collapse, the whole statue collapses. I love it. It says, and they blow away like the chaff. Kingdoms come and they go. They come and they go. But the little rock will become a mountain. The rock is Christ. Cut out, but not by human hands. That's a prophecy of the virgin birth. And that one little rock, when does he come? In the days of the Roman Empire. And what does he become? History from that day to this is the church age, right? All the empires that have come and gone and tyrants have come and gone. There's always a Mussolini or a Hitler or a Stalin or now a Putin. There's always one or another, right? They seem so powerful, don't they? Where do they go? To the grave like all men, like dust. But what's still around? The church. Who has opposed the church? Communism, Nazism, Islam. How's the church? Growing, right? Around the world. It says the little rock will become a mountain that will fill the whole world. Is that so? It is. The rock fills the whole world. It's a wonderful prophecy. It doesn't tell us specific dates. It doesn't tell us who wins the next election. It doesn't really talk about the United States in particular. But it says that you live in an era called the church age. I want us to bear in mind, this is history. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, the church. That's what God is really doing, right? That's what is going on. That's where God is at work. In the church, not in these, in the church. That's where you are, a member of the church of God. Now, I want us to notice, I do want you to know that. Rome, church. I want us to hear then the last chapter of Daniel. It's only a short chapter. I want to read all of Daniel 12. There's four prophets in the Bible called major prophets. Daniel's the last one. These are the last words of the major prophets. Are there prophets after the major prophets? Yes, they're called the what? The minor prophets. They wrote short little books. So God has more to say. This isn't the end of it, but I do want us to hear this. Talking about all this working its way out. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress. You hear that phrase? There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. What's the end of the world like? Distress. But, did you hear it? It says, but who? Everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. I want you to hear that. That's the end of the matter, right? Everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. That's the resurrection. The last day, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise, that's you, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Increase knowledge. Is that where we've lived? We live in a world foundationally different from the past, right? The knowledge that we have, all the things we've gained. What hasn't changed is the tyranny and the corruption, but the church is still there. Many will run here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Don't we always ask that? When? The Bible never tells. When? The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5. The Bible always says 3.5. You know why? The age before Jesus is called 3.5. The age after Jesus is called 3.5. What's 3.5 plus 3.5? 7. 7 is the number of perfection. So all the time before Jesus, all the time after Jesus, that's the time you live in. The second 3.5. It'll be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. Mm-hmm. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? And he replied, go your way, Daniel. Bearing in mind, Daniel's 95, 98, 100 years old. Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Isn't that the way it is? Some people don't get it. You do. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. That's 3.5 years. Because blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. It's always 3.5, but there's a little piece of time at the end where it gets worse. But the Lord is coming, right? This is the last verse of the last of the major prophets. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. So what is Daniel saying? Kingdoms come and go, they rise and fall, and God is on the throne. And the wicked will be wicked, and the wise will get it. But for you, there is the rising from the dead. So for now, go your way. Do your work. Be faithful to God. The Lord is coming, and you will receive your inheritance. That's the last word of the major prophets. And you will receive your inheritance. Amen.